Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour are brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market.
I like plants.
Gladiolas.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air.
And
are
sun.
All they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
It is Garden Talk Hour number 2, live with Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher. Since 1987, America's longest-running radio gardening program from, well, where else? Santa Rosa, California. It's a great spot to do a gardening program from. So, Gwen, you have brought us two lively guests this morning. Would you do the honors and introduce us, please?
I would love to. Here we have Suzanne Young and Stephen Selleck from the UC Cooperative Extension Master Food Preservers Program. And it's something that everybody should pay attention to when you have a lot of fruits and vegetables growing in your garden and you don't know what to do with them, and your neighbors are closing their doors, locking their doors and windows when you're coming up with some bountiful fruits and vegetables for them, and they say, no, thank you, enough is enough. What do you do with all this? So we have Stephen and Suzanne here to give us some tidbits on home preserving.
So thank you both for coming in. Suzanne, first, thank you.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
Stephen,
we're very happy to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
No worries. Thanks,
so
Steve.
Did you guys have to undergo some rigorous testing, and how did you become master food preservers?
Actually, we did, yes. It's, as Gwen mentioned, it's a program that's sponsored by the University of California Cooperative Extension. And similar to the Master Gardeners program, there's a rigorous training program that volunteers have to go through in order to be certified by the state to qualify as master food preservers.
And how long have you been doing food preserving?
I was part of the second class of the MFP program. It's a relatively new program here in Sonoma County. It's only been around since 2020 in Sonoma County, but in other counties throughout the state, it's been around for a little bit longer.
Did you have an interest in this before you got certified, or did you just one day wake up and go, I am going to become a food preserving authority?
I think for me, it was a combination of a COVID project, to be honest. I was in the class that started in January or February of 2021, but it was related to, I think, a longstanding interest I've had in cooking and growing food and all things related to eating and food.
Natural extension. What about you, Suzanne?
Probably pretty much the same for me. My email is foodie, so I am a big food person, and I was very interested in home preserving, and so didn't grow up with it, but was very interested in it. So we kind of convinced the Sonoma County to open this program, so I was part of the first program.
And how many of them are you here in Sonoma County? Are you the two, or are there more than two?
No, I think there are about 17 or so active members at this point. As I said, it's a relatively new program, so we started actually with a seed group, if you will, pardon the pun, from the Master Gardeners here in Sonoma County, and they started in 2020 with Suzanne's class with 5 people, and then I think there was my class in 2021 with around, 13 people or so, and we just finished training our third class with about 7 or 8 people in it. So in total, accounting for people who haven't been as active in things, we're probably around 17 or 20 people now.
So do you both take turns answering calls on the phone or via email, or do you go out in the community? How do you outreach?
It's a little bit of both. We have a program that we call Ask a Master Food Preserver, which answers questions by phone and by email through the offices at the University of California Cooperative Extension in Sonoma County. And we also are starting to ramp up a program of activities in the county, volunteer programs at food banks, demonstrations, and things like that. But we've first initially been focused really on establishing a critical mass of volunteers so that we can actually do more of the actual project work that we're also anxious to do.
Well, the food bank would be a great spot. I volunteered at the food bank, for almost 30 years. And when you see the tons and tons of perishable food, that if someone could somehow mobilize a canning and or freezing or preserving effort, my gosh, the amount of food that wouldn't have to be wasted. Savita, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. What can we do for you? Hi.
This is Michelle.
Hi. Hi, Savita.
Yes, good morning.
Do you have a question or a comment for us?
Yes, I have two comments. One is that I trialed some baker seeds this year, and I had a particular bean that was called a Taiwan long bean. And I just picked one and brought it into the greenhouse here where there are, three young people who are doing a bunch of seeding from the Neighborhood Gardening Initiative and said, okay, try it. It was 3 out of 3 that said it was really tasty raw. So I just wanted to put a plug in for some of the unusual varieties, like those long beans are incredible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially when you pick them young. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Oh, you can eat all...
go ahead.
You can eat all beans raw. You just pick them off the vine or if you have bush beans and eat them. And, yeah, they never... there's a lot of things you can do without even cooking them. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Yes, and my question for the preservers that are on your program today is that do you have some suggestions of how to preserve potatoes so that you can have them really late into the season? We have a bumper crop of potatoes, and I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. Nothing immediate is coming to mind, and this is actually a good opportunity for us to sort of talk about how to think about questions like that. If you don't have any direct experience in preserving something, or if initially at looking something you're not sure, a couple of things to do are to make sure if you're doing research, you want to make sure it's going to be a science-based approach. So you can go to Google or something and just make sure when you do search for a recipe or for an approach, type in site.edu when you're searching, and that'll make sure that the sources that come up when in your search will be based on an educational institution, so it's more likely to be science-based and safe. We can certainly look into the question about potatoes, and Suzanne here is pointing out something to me as we speak, and I'm going to let me have a look at that, and we'll circle back and answer that question in a little bit, if that's all right. One of the paramount things here is to make sure that whatever we do, whatever we recommend, is going to be safe and effective for members of the community. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that everything is fact-based and safe.
So keep listening, Savita. We'll have an answer for you.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you for that response. I look forward to more information.
Okay. Thanks for the bean info.
Well, I know one thing. You have to cook them. You can't freeze raw potatoes. I know that because I've tried it before, and they get gray and funky, and they end up getting slimy and from up. Canning is really the way to do them. Certainly, that will cook the potatoes themselves. And basic potatoes 101, we all know we need to cut out any of the eyes or any of the brown spots or the black spots.
I'm wondering dehydrating, because you can buy those dehydrated potatoes, shave them up or something, and spread them out on your dehydrator. And
have you ever tried that, Gwen, on your dehydrator?
No, I haven't. But you just said they have to be cooked.
Yeah, they
do. But do they have to be cooked before you dehydrate them?
I bet they do. I'm sure in mass commercial production. They cook them probably or steam them at a low temperature and then probably freeze dry. That's a whole other more complex subject.
Well, we'll find out from Steve and Suzanne later.
636-1350 if you have a gardening question or an email question, steve@ksrdo.com, or a canning or preserving or a fermenting. Do either of you do any pickling? Have you done any simple pickling projects, Suzanne?
Actually, I just made some bread and butter pickles, and they were delicious. I grow the pickling cucumbers, which are the smaller cucumbers, and you slice them very thin, not super, super thin, but thin enough that they're still crunchy. And they're so pretty in a jar. They really are terrific. And you can water bath can those.
What have you done with them?
Done with them, meaning...
Did you water bath can them?
I did water bath
can them. Oh, you did?
Yes. Yes, I did water bath can them. And they're, you know, now Ball's making some really interesting jars that are very attractive. So you can really make something that looks really fun. And I put red pepper in it, and so it had a little bit of color. And, yeah, I've made bread and butter. I've never done refrigerator. Have you done refrigerator pickles, Steve?
I have, actually. I pretty much always keep pickled red onions in my refrigerator. Refrigerator pickles are a really easy, accessible, and fun way to start with food preservation. It's not the same as doing a shelf-stable preservation like with water bath canning or pressure canning, but they'll keep in your fridge for weeks and can be used on any number of things. So yeah, very lots of fun.
Yeah, I got that tip from you, and I use them all the time now. They're great on hamburgers or hot dogs, and they're simple to do. You can buy those lovely red onions at the farmer's market, and you slice them very thinly, and it's a quick project. It takes like 5-10 minutes. And then they'll hold in the refrigerator. And it's a real showstopper. You know, you can put them on a buffet when you're having burgers or something. And, well, I made those.
So the canning ones, the canned pickles that you did.
Yes.
That requires cooking them.
It does. You don't actually cook them. You just bring them to a quick boil. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to get them too floppy. You want them still to be a little bit crunchy. So you just bring them to a quick boil, and then you put them in the jars. And then when you do water bath canning, I think you process them for about 15 minutes.
Is that what you did?
And that's what I did. Okay. But I don't actually use water bath. I use a steam canner, which I find is a lot better now, especially when it's so hot, because it doesn't make your kitchen so hot. And it's a lot easier to do. It works where you put a small amount of water in it, and then the steam will escape from it.
And how do you know when they're done?
You don't really know when they're done. You process it for the time they tell you to. So you process it for 15 minutes. Then you leave it in the water bath canner for another 5 minutes. Then you take it out. And in water bath or steam canning, you always wait for that ping. You want the jar lid to concave so that it pings when it comes out, meaning that it is sealed.
If it's convex, it didn't seal.
No, it didn't seal.
And do you try the little fingernail trick to try to flip up the lid?
If it
comes up, it didn't seal.
It didn't seal. You have to start all over. You can't just put them back in the... You have to dump them all out, bring them to the hot, put them back in the jars. Or you can just put them in the refrigerator, which I've been known to do, rather than, you know, if a couple of them don't seal. But luckily, I've had pretty good luck in the sealing. And, you know, the seals, I think, are better now than they used to be because I think they seal better.
So this is a two-part. This is the screw-on.
Right.
It has a lid, and then it has the screw-on part.
You want to
do that almost hand-tight?
They call it finger-tight when you put them in the canner. And then when you take them out, you let them sit for 12 to 24 hours. And then you take the, this is something that I think is rather new, is you take the ring off and you store them without the ring.
Oh.
So a good idea, especially when you're doing something sticky, and pickles have sugar, so they're sticky, you should wash the jars before you store them. So that, you know, you don't get critters or whatever. But you do take the ring off.
Okay.
And
so you add a little salt and sugar to the pickles?
Yep, and vinegar. Lots of vinegar.
and whatever other flavorings you want.
Yeah. Yeah, but bread and butter are pretty simple. You know, you don't add a lot of flavoring. They're just the old standard bread and butter pickles.
And where did you get your rig, your outfit? Where do you buy online, or did you buy it local?
There's several places. I think online is good, but there's a lot of places here. There's, Steve, what's the name? Wilco is in Petaluma, I think. They've got a really good selection of canning things. It was more difficult during the pandemic because, of course, everybody wanted a can. But and also, it used to be, and it probably still is, garage sales are really a good place to find stuff, because people, and especially now, because people started canning, and now that they're busy doing other things, they're not so interested. So,
pickles are one thing you've done on stovetop canning. What other vegetables have you tried?
Let's see. What else have I done? I've pickled asparagus, which is kind of fun. I've done carrots. I've done taqueria carrots, which is delicious. They're just wonderful. They're like what you buy in the, or what you get in a Mexican taqueria.
So you have a little jalapeno?
Yeah, a little jalapeno, a couple other kind of peppers. You can interchange your peppers depending upon how spicy you want it. But
it's the same procedure. Whatever vegetable you're doing,
pickled
pretty much.
Pickled beets. I love pickled beets. And, you know, I grow small beets that I can put in jars, and they're really attractive and very tasty. What about you, Steve? What do you...
I also actually recently did bread and butter pickles, so I guess it's that time of year. And Steve, you mentioned, you know, it is the same basic procedure for a lot of vegetables that you can do, but you do want to make sure to consult a reputable source to make sure that you're following the safety guidelines, because different vegetables or different things that you might want to can might have different durations of canning to make sure that you cook them long enough to kill off any of the harmful mold or bacteria, or most especially C. botulinum, Clostridium botulinum, which is the spore that can cause botulism, which is, of course, the main concern with any preserved food.
And see, that's what freaked people out. You just freaked everyone out. Everyone's going, you know, I'm going to do this, and then, oh, no, what's going to happen? Why the jars are going to break, and it's not going to seal, and the whole family is going to be...
It's if you follow the rules, which is what we're here to encourage you to do, it is perfectly safe, and it's a great way to make use of extra produce from the garden. It's a great way to sort of minimize the amount of food waste that you generate. It minimizes transportation and other costs and things like that. So it's a great way to go about using things. And as Suzanne mentioned, there's the bragging rights of saying that this is something that I made myself.
So this is a simple, well, we call it boiler water canning, but use a steam process instead of boiling water. And that works just as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Is there a pressure canning also? Is that a different style of canning?
Yes, that's a different style of
canning. Is that more advanced?
I don't think it's more advanced, but I think it can be intimidating. But I think once you pull it all out of the box and you look at it, and there's so much good information about pressure canning now that I don't think it's nearly as intimidating. And pressure canners don't explode and they don't do things. No, I think we used to think that, you know, it was like, oh, God. But it's really, you use it when you have foods that are not suitable for water bath canning. Okay. And so one of the things I think we were pushing about pressure canning was it does make things shelf stable for emergencies. You know, a freezer, you can lose all your food in, you know, 24 hours, whereas if you have canned soups, I was always sort of, it kind of weirded me out, but now I've done a lot of bean soups and pressure canned them. And so I think it's just a matter of reading about it and realizing that it really isn't intimidating.
I think the way to get our stick our toe in the water is probably basic jams and jellies and marmalades. Those are the ones that I started with 40 years ago. And I thought, the chance of me harming myself are really quite low with doing, because of all the natural sugar in these. Do you agree that that's kind of a starter way for many people to explore that?
Absolutely. As you said, it's a combination of a lot of sugar. Those fruits tend to be high acid, which are the types of products that lend themselves to the water bath canning. So in a high acid, high sugar, high salt, so pickling and things like that, environments are much safer to do, which is why you can use the water bath canner to preserve them safely and make them shelf stable, as Suzanne said. It's only for fruits, mostly vegetables, but things that are low acid that you need to go to a pressure canner for, because without the acidity and the other factors, you need to raise the temperature of the product a lot higher in order to kill any of the pathogens, and a pressure canner is what allows you to do that.
I was going to ask you about the tomatoes. I have a friend who said she doesn't grow tomatoes with a very high acidic content, and she had to add something, which I don't remember what it was.
Is it citric acid?
You can add citric acid, lemon juice, or vinegar typically. But you're absolutely right, Gwen. Tomatoes are right on the border of a high acid versus low acid, and so if you want, following the approved recipes, you can address that by adding some kind of acid to the tomatoes, lemon juice, as long as it's bottled lemon juice, which is certified to have a certain acidity level to it. You could add lemon juice, you could add vinegar or citric acid. I think citric acid also does it. And then you can go the water bath canning route if you're more comfortable with that. If you'd rather not add acid because you think it alters the flavor, for example, in your tomatoes, you can go the pressure canning route for tomatoes. But they're right on the border.
Okay.
We'll take a break at that point, come right back, and continue our conversation with Stephen Selleck and Suzanne Young. They're masters. They're simple masters. Wouldn't you just say they're master food preservers?
Master food preservers.
From the UC Co-op Extension here in Santa Rosa in Sonoma County. And if you have questions about that, maybe you're ready to try the waters. You've got all this fruit. Your neighbor just brought over 30 pounds of figs and you don't know what to do with them. They can give you some ideas. 636-1350 or shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. And of course, we're taking general gardening questions as always with Gwen and Steve. Same address, steve@ksro.com, 636-1350. We'll talk about ants right after this break.
Do you ever feel like some service companies just treat you like a number? Or even worse, do you ever feel like all they really want to do is get at your checkbook? At More Home Services, we're not looking for customers. We prefer to make friends. You'll notice that right away when you call to schedule a tune-up, and when we show up on time and clean with a smile on our face. We'll treat your home and property with respect and clean up after ourselves, just like you would at a friend's house. If you need us to help with anything around the house, we're more than happy to do a good deed for free. And at the end of the day, we only expect you to pay if you absolutely love our service. At More Home Services, we don't find customers, we make friends. And right now, our precision tune-up and professional cleaning is just $88. Your home will be more energy efficient and comfortable. Call More Home Services at 707-505-8000. That's 707-505-8000. Or you can find us online at morehomeservices.com.
Join the Santa Rosa Metro Chamber and over 100 local businesses and nonprofits at Showcase Sonoma County. Coming up Tuesday, August 30th from 4 to 7 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Showcase Sonoma County, your local business expo, is the largest and most interactive networking event of the season. The showcase is free and open to the public. Sample Sonoma County beer, wine, and delicious food while meeting hundreds of local business professionals and community leaders from tech, finance, and manufacturing to restaurants, wineries, and breweries. You'll find a mix of world-renowned brands as well as local businesses you know and love. The Santa Rosa Metro Chamber invites you to attend the 2022 Showcase. 3 hours, over 100 businesses, endless opportunities. That's Showcase Sonoma County, Tuesday, August 30th from 4 to 7 at the LBC. For more info, go to santarosametrochamber.com.
This is Larry Fleck, owner of The Floor Store. Labor Day is the last sale of the summer, and this one just might be the biggest of the year. Now through September 5th, get up to 50% off store-wide on carpet, hardwood, tile and stone, waterproof flooring, and more, even countertops, plus 18 months interest-free financing. No sales tax on anything. The Floor Store's Labor Day sale. Don't let the sun set on this one. Go to floorstores.com to find us on Santa Rosa Avenue, one block south of Smart and Final. The Floor Store, your Bay Area flooring authority.
Today on Hey Culligan, sustainability and better water. Here's Sam.
Hey Culligan, I'm really into sustainability. My clothes, my utensils, my food. But how do I get more sustainability from my water?
Super question, Sam. And the answer is an always-on drinking water system from Culligan, which helps eliminate the equivalent of 15 billion single-use plastic bottles a year.
Whoa, that's a ton of sustainability.
416,000 tons, Sam, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
It is Garden Talk Live at KSRL. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher and some master food preservers from the UC Co-op Extension are with us. Stick around at 11:05. It's the Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash. John will be coming into the KSRL kitchen. We will be talking about bananas today. It wasn't an apple that might have been in your lunchbox as a kid, then maybe it was a banana. Today's National Banana Lovers Day. Yeah, it's the fruit that's been around for 10,000 years, and they're loaded with serotonin, so maybe that's why we love them so much. It's a natural high. What more can you ask? John Ash has created some special recipes for today's show to celebrate National Banana Day. We'll post them. Actually, they're already posted on the KSRO Good Food Hour this morning. How do you store cucumbers so that they'll last for a long time in your refrigerator? Well, we talked this week to Ann Taylor Pittman, who spent weeks testing every possible way to extend the life of your cucumber. And we have a fascinating report for you on the show today. And then Chef Douglas Keene will be joining us. He first visited us in 2006, shortly after he opened Cyrus Restaurant in Healdsburg and received two Michelin stars. Property was sold in 2012. The restaurant closed, but Douglas vowed to return. It's taken 10 years of almost. But now the dream is a reality. Chef John Ash and I were able to take a before opening advance tour of the restaurant this week. Doug spent some time showing us around, which was really great. It's up in Geyserville. And today, Douglas Keene will be giving his first in-depth interview when he visits us this morning on the Good Food Hour in advance of the September 9th opening for this multi-million dollar restaurant. It's going to change the face of Geyserville. Let's see. Good morning, Steve and Gwen. How do you compost so ants, sow bugs, and earwigs don't invade and take advantage of the vegetable food scraps? And that's from Denny, who is emailing us this morning. Can you help Denny?
Well, that's a tough one, because when you have your compost pile sitting on the ground, of course, whatever can smell your compost is going to come over there. So unless you have one of those containers, well, even the ants crawl up those things in the earwigs. Keep flipping your compost over. You know, you could, if you have fireplace ashes, and make a big ring around your compost pile so they don't crawl in. But if they're already underneath the compost pile and they're already there, I guess there is no way to get rid of them because they're already there. But keep flipping the compost pile. They are part of the, you know, breakdown system of composting the scraps and all that stuff. Dang, that's a good question, and there's no easy answer. Other than just pretending they're not there, they'll eventually go away when the cold weather comes, when the freezing cold weather comes and the rain. But keep flipping the compost pile over. you can make sure that your scraps that you throw in there are as small as possible. The pieces are as small as possible. But they do like to eat anything that's decomposing. They are part of that cycle of life program. And I'm sorry, Denise, I don't have a better answer for you. But they're here. They're part of, you know, composting. Pick another spot next time, or see if you can get it up off the ground. Put it in one of those big plastic rolling composting bins, which aren't the greatest to use. But if you do have a real serious problem, then that would help alleviate a lot of the ants, earwigs, and sow bugs.
Thanks for your email, Denny. 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO if you have a gardening question or a food preserving question. We have two master food preservers in the KSRO greenhouse this morning, Suzanne Young and Stephen Selleck, who are joining us to talk about the bounty of the summer.
Before we go on, can we say a quick hello to Kathleen Fitzgerald Orr, who's listening? She's part of the Master Food Preservers, and she's a long-time master gardener and bug expert. And I just wanted to say hi, Kathleen, and sorry you couldn't be here today.
Do I have to use pectin in my fruits when I'm...
No. You don't have to use pectin. But we also have to remember that pectin is a natural product. So it's not, I think we went through a period where it was like, ooh, I don't want to use that because I'm afraid, you know, is it going to alter or whatever. But the main thing, if you don't use pectin, you just have to boil down.
Okay.
And you have to boil it longer, your jams and your jellies, to make them thicken.
I think those are some initial questions that a lot of people have. And a lot of people say, I don't want to use sugar.
You do have to be careful about sugar because sugar, as you mentioned earlier, Steve, sugar is a key component in part of the safety aspects of making fruit spreads and jams and jellies and things like that, too. There are approved recipes that use less sugar, but you have to be very careful and not just arbitrarily change the amount of sugar that you put into a recipe that you're going to be preserving to be shelf stable.
Okay.
So besides canning, what other ways are there that we can save our produce and keep it? What do you got?
Well, there's a number of different approaches that you can use to preserve food so it stays healthy longer. There's canning, which we talked about. Pickling and fermenting is another popular way of doing things. Obviously, freezing is these days with the ubiquity of freezers and things. Freezing is a great way to do it. Dehydration, using dehydrators, is another way. And then making fruit spreads, jams and jellies, things like that.
I want to get into the fermenting. That's been very popular for a number of years now. You hear all that fermenting and eating fermented foods and things. So
there's a lot of interesting research now. This is sort of slightly a separate and aside from the MFP program, but on the health benefits of fermented foods and the microbiome and things like that. Mm-hmm. That I think that really has sort of taken off in popular culture at this point.
Do you get any calls about smoking foods?
I don't know much about smoking. I have to be very honest.
Or most of the calls and emails about canning, is that what most people are interested in?
Yeah, that's
pickling.
Pickling and fermenting. Another good fun thing to do, and you can get a recipe, a standard recipe, is to make sauerkraut. That's a real fun thing to do.
That's a good starter one.
Yeah, it's a real good starter one, and it's
It's difficult to mess it up.
It is. Yeah, actually, it is pretty difficult, and it usually turns out. I mean, it turns out whichever way it turns out. Mm-hmm. But as you do it more, you learn how long you want to do it, and how crispy or how soggy you want it, and it lasts a long time in the refrigerator. But it's a real good starter for fermenting.
Yep, and relate that's and you'll see you have a lot more control over if you like your sauerkraut to be a little more sour, a little less sour, or whatever it might be. You can actually control that by doing it yourself,
and so healthy for you too.
Yeah.
Just don't put cloves in it. My father-in-law made it one time, and he put cloves in it. Nobody could eat it.
Deborah from Sebastopol, welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Deborah.
Well, thank you. An excellent program this morning. Excellent. I wanted to be preemptive because I had an ag alert paper that I found here in my local post office, and it talked about this inundation of grasshoppers and the Mormon cricket that was literally wiping out ranches, the hay production in multiple counties up through the central California area on up into the Oregon border. And in 17 states where there's a much drought, people can just type in ag alert and mosquitoes, and you'll see the exact article that I'm referring to. They're saying that it's biblical in the sense that they've counted anywhere between 80 and 200 grasshoppers in one square foot, and that the cattle have to close their eyes when they're walking through the pasture land. They are looking at minimum of 70% hay reduction this year because the grasshoppers are coming through and getting into all the fields. And because they're hatching so quickly and they're spreading so rapidly, I'm wondering how can we work ahead of this inundation?
That's where we need the Ag Department for their help, the Agricultural Commissioner and all those guys.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. It's a good report. We should read it. And whenever you have drought, you have infestations and plagues and grasshoppers. And this is to be, I don't think anyone is surprised by this. This is the new reality of agriculture now, and it is decimating ranches all throughout the western states. It's absolutely true. We're fortunate we don't rely on beef and cattle production. This is where most states in Montana and Idaho and areas in the southern part of California are feeling this a lot more than us, but it's certainly worth taking a look at. Thank you, Deborah. From Cotati, Debbie, good morning and welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. What can we do for you? Hi, Debbie.
Yeah, good morning. Hi. Well, a question about the acidity of tomatoes, for one. I've been doing this for the past few years, canning mostly what I grew. And so how do you know how acid your tomatoes are? I've not had a problem. My favorite butcher used to sell his tomato sauce, and I got his quick little recipe. And it's been very successful, but I don't pay attention to the acidity. I just do the hot water bath and, you know, follow the proper measures for canning with no problem. So what's the deal about acidity and tomatoes, different varieties, of course?
Sure. Well, if you're following a tested and approved recipe, then you should be safe, is the bottom line. There's no, to my recollection, and Suzanne will correct me if I'm wrong on this, but to my recollection, there's no reliable at-home method to be able to test the acidity of a product in your home kitchen.
I think you're correct.
I think there's over-the-counter, as it were, kits that you can get. But unless they're carefully calibrated, you wouldn't want to necessarily rely on them for food safety. That's why in the lab, what they do is they test things in the lab where they can be sure their equipment is up to snuff in terms of the precision. And the labs will build into their recipes a margin of error. So that's why they say, I'm just making, this won't be the exact right number, but if you add a tablespoon of lemon juice or of vinegar or something to a certain quantity of tomatoes, then you'll be comfortably within the margin of acidity to be able to use them in a boiling water canner. Again, that's not a specific recipe I'm giving you. That's just by way of example of something like that. But the bottom line is, if you're following a safe and approved recipe, that's the best way to assure yourself that you're going to be okay.
Thanks very much for the question and comment. 636-1350, if you'd like a word with us on Garden Talk Live, or shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. Mm-mm. So what are you both doing besides pickling at this point and doing some, what, marmalades and jellies and jams?
Yeah, I've done some marmalades. One of the things I wanted to mention about dehydrating is a good method to use fruit if you want to dehydrate fruit. Like we made a really interesting mango strawberry fruit leather, which was really, really delicious. And it's a fun thing to do with kids, too. I have grandchildren, and so it's a fun thing to do with your kids. But you put the mango puree. You just puree mangoes and put it in your dehydrator. And then you take strawberry puree and you sort of swirl it in the mango. Mm. And then you dehydrate it for probably about 10 hours. And when you pull it off, it's like the fruit leather you buy. And I have to be honest, it's not a lot cheaper to do that. it could be expensive. You know, mangoes sometimes are pricey. But the other thing you can do with dehydrating is you can use some of the skins off of things. We did some interesting, we canned the tomatoes and we took the skins and then we put the skins in the dehydrator, dehydrated them. And then we ground them with a mortar and pestle. We just mushed them all up. And then we added salt. And so then we had tomato salt.
Oh, my God.
Which was really fun.
Wow.
And again, it's zero waste. You know, you use the whole tomato and the skin.
We'll take a break at that point. Be right back. It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is always fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, seafood, and freshly made sausages. A variety of cheese, egg, and dairy are all at the market. Everything Green Organics brings a variety of microgreens. Lantern Farms offers a wide variety of veggies and flowers. La Vida Nursery and Nature Spirit have veggie starts ready for you. The Patch is back with a wide variety of tomatoes, and Armstrong Valley Farm has the best selection of potatoes anywhere. Shop the market's creative local artisans. There's fresh made pastries, including gluten-free, and breads that are still warm. Enjoy coffee, breakfast, or lunch from the market's variety of prepared food. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Press Democrat's Best Of Award. Open Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
At Vintner's Resort, Front Room Bar and Lounge, we celebrate everything. Meet up with friends for the happy hour named one of the best in Sonoma County. Enjoy drink specials and a casual menu from 3 to 5, 7 days a week. Savor delicious small bites like oysters on the half shell, sliders, or grilled fish tacos. Quench your summertime thirst with beer, wine, or a craft cocktail. Happy hour is 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. every day of the week. Yes, we celebrate happy hour on the weekends too. Be sure to come early and choose your perfect seat. Outside with the lovely view of our vineyard and garden, or inside where the atmosphere is warm and friendly. The Front Room Bar and Lounge with happy hour every day of the week. Next to John Ash and Company, now serving dinner beginning at 5 o'clock Wednesday through Sunday. Take the Vintner's Resort entrance just off River Road on Barnes Road. Celebrate everything with us.
Waterdrop Digital presents Advertising in the Digital Age, Lesson 2. If you're paying for digital advertising, are you receiving a complete and transparent report? Is your digital provider reporting impressions delivered? Are you receiving impressions by device type? Are you seeing a performance report highlighting engagement by zip code? If not, you should contact Waterdrop Digital for extensive, understandable details and thought-provoking results. Visit waterdropdigital.com.
Conversation is focusing on food preserving today at Garden Talk Central, 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO.com. And we're very happy that Suzanne Young and Stephen Sulek have joined us today in the KSRO greenhouse to answer questions and garden talks in general, too. Diane asks, hi, Steve and Gwen. This is a question about her canning tomatoes, and she's saying that she uses olive oil. And is asking whether that would be okay instead of using lemon juice. Would the acid of the added olive oil in canning tomatoes work instead of lemon? What do you think about that?
It's certainly not one of the tested and approved approaches, and offhand I would say that's probably a pretty firm no, because the you want to make sure that whatever you're adding the acidity in order to make sure you're changing the pH of the tomatoes, if you're water bath canning them, to be at a point where it's safe to do that. And the labs that have tested these recipes have all done that specifically with bottled lemon juice or vinegar, both of which are tested to make sure they have a certain level of acidity, 5% acidity in this case. So since you can't be sure that the olive oil will have that level of acidity and will make the pH of the tomatoes sufficiently different, then I think the long answer, short answer now is no.
Okay.
Someone else will add it a little bit about our potato discussion earlier, and just wanted to remind us that you can store root crops very effectively in sand using a heavy wire frame with a jute liner, and then store the root crops in a cool, dark area. Great for overwintering tubers also, but that's another way of extending the potato harvest if you don't want to have to cook them.
Absolutely. And to answer the previous caller's question, if you don't want to go the route of the storing them in sand or preserving them as they are, you can, in fact, pressure can potatoes following an approved recipe. I think they have to be cooked first and then in jars and pressure canned, but you can do that. It is a safe and approved method.
A question that was the person couldn't stay online was going to ask you, Suzanne, they directed it toward you. Can you use honey instead of sugar to make those preserves, marmalades, jellies? Is that effective?
Sorry, this is Steve. I think there are some recipes that do let you approved recipes that do let you substitute a certain amount of honey for sugar in a recipe, but again, you'd want to be very careful about that and make sure that any source you're consulting is tested and approved on that, because the amount of sugar that you add does contribute to the safety side of things in terms of making your jams and jellies. It's not just taste.
I have a quick question, though. Getting back to the using vinegar, does it have to be the plain vinegar, or could you use apple cider vinegar?
Use apple cider.
You
can use apple cider. You just have to make sure it's 5% acidity.
Okay.
That's a key. And vinegar is generally labeled, whether it's what percentage of acidity it has.
Okay, thank you.
And the whole purpose of our discussion, and we're almost out of time, but the hour has gone by very quickly, is to reduce waste. I mean, this is what we're really talking about, extending the harvest, not having to have more landfill. If you can think about not having to throw away 10 pounds of apples,
yes,
wouldn't it be great? And there's a pretty easy entry. The bar is pretty low to really learn how to preserve these foods.
Steve, absolutely.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just, no, it's absolutely, that's a core part of the mission is to reduce waste, to increase food safety, and to sort of promote resilience in our community.
From Santa Rosa, Carol, good morning and welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to let you know that when I lived in Fresno, I had two large Kalmyrna fig trees in my backyard, and every August I just had tons of them. So I decided to can them. I made a syrup with water and sugar, and then I put whole cinnamon sticks, whole cloves, and whole allspice in them, and then I put the figs with the juice in the glass canning jars, and I processed them, and they turned out to be delicious. I had nice spiced figs for breakfast for the next year, so if people have extra figs, that's a nice thing to do.
Figs are a great example, because you tend to get such a bumper crop of them, so you want to do something with them. If I remember correctly, though, I think figs are also something that is or a product that is right on the border in terms of the acidity, the natural acidity in the product. So you want to be careful that you're following a safe and approved and tested recipe for that, because you may need to add a little bit of acid in order to make sure that it's going to be safe to water bath can those, or you could go the pressure canning route too. But again, just follow a safe and approved recipe is the mantra we keep coming back to.
Oh, Carol, you are so lucky. That tastes, I can taste that right now.
They were so good. I may have added a little apple cider vinegar.
Yep.
So that might have been what I did. It was so many years ago, but I remember how good they were.
Well, thank you for tempting our taste buds this morning, Carol.
All right, thanks.
Nice to hear from you. Back right after this.
Hi, this is Allison Norman, host of the Real Estate Hour, Sundays right here on KSRO. It's no surprise that inventory is historically low here in the North Bay. Buyers are out there waiting for your home to come on the market. Now is the time. Let's schedule a one-on-one complimentary consultation to look at your specific situation and make a plan. If you need help getting your house ready to put on the market, I can help you with that too. There are several options available allowing you to pay for any repairs or upgrades when your house sells. Let's connect and see if this is a good option for you. Give me a call and I'll give you some honest advice whether you decide to hire me as your realtor or not.
Allison Norman is a realtor with Keller Williams Realty, and she's host of the Real Estate Hour Sundays at 9 a.m. on KSRO to discuss your specific real estate needs or to make a no-obligation appointment. Call or text 707-799-3617. DRE license number 01720334.
Dr. Walter Tom listens to what his patients want.
The demand for Botox has been the highest in the 20-year history of our office.
Dr. Tom shares why Botox continues to be one of their most requested treatments.
I believe that Botox is the elixir of youth and probably one of the simplest things we can do to help us age gracefully without telling anybody what we're doing. The key is treating patients with Botox appropriately and correctly.
Dr. Tom is never in a rush.
Over the last two decades, our highly trained staff pride themselves in achieving the best results possible for our patients.
Dr. Tom was voted the best cosmetic surgeon in both Sonoma and Napa counties. Find out why. Make an appointment today for a free consultation.
Let's stay young together.
Online at drwaltertom.com. drwaltertom.com.
According to the National Safety Council, most of the children who lose their lives in bus-related incidents are 4 to 7 years old, and they're walking, often hit by a motorist illegally passing a stop bus. That's why Gelati Construction, Ongro & Sons, and Exchange Bank remind drivers that there are many youngsters walking to and from school with their heads down looking at their cell phones. Please slow down and be patient, especially in school zones, because we care, Sonoma County.
It's Garden Talk Live. So glad you could join us today. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher in the greenhouse. And special guests today, Suzanne Young and Stephen Selleck, the UC Master Food Preservers, have joined us. And it's a relatively new program you mentioned to us.
It's a relatively new program in Sonoma County. It was relaunched in 2020. If I may, I'd like to actually thank a number of people and organizations that were instrumental in relaunching our group here in Sonoma County. The first is the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors and the people of Sonoma County for providing support via the UCCE Sonoma County office in Santa Rosa. Dr. Stephanie Larson, who's the county director for UCCE Sonoma County. Linda Garcia, who is a former county director for UCCE here in Sonoma County, was instrumental in relaunching the program. Deborah Curl is our current MFP coordinator. And, of course, all the Sonoma County Master Gardener volunteers who formed the seed group for relaunching the MFP program in 2020.
And what's the best way to get in touch with one of the 17 of you that do this work here?
We do have a website through UCCE. If you just Google MFP Sonoma, you can find that website. So MFP, Master Food Preservers Sonoma, will put you in touch with that website, and that'll have all of our contact information there.
All right. Are you looking forward to anything in the fall or winter, Suzanne, as far as foods coming into season?
Well, I think right now, apples. Apples are big, and applesauce, again, is a very user-friendly thing to do, to learn how to water bath or steam bath can. And the Gravenstein just make absolutely fabulous apple butter, applesauce.
Oh, getting
I would
hungry.
Think grapes, too. Grapes?
Oh, no? I have made grape jelly. Yes, I have. Okay. From wine grapes. After picking wine grapes, then I've made jelly. And it's good. It's much better than the commercial grape jelly.
Well, we'll have to have both of you back again. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gwen Kilcher.
Thank you, Steve Garner.
Chef John Ash waiting in the wings for the KSRO Good Food Hour right after the news.
Budweiser wants you.